You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed show today. Mm-hmm. We really do. We have many guests. Coming up at 10:33, Professor Michael Wagner from UW-Madison is going to join us for a segment we're calling Ballot from Birth to Bed. So how do ballots get generated? What happens after they're generated? What kinds of markings are there on them? What is the process that ballots go through? What makes our elections so secure?
When do we take them and dump them into a river? I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah. Professor Michael Wagner joining us to talk about all things election at 10:33. 11:06, honored to be joined by retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who famously testified in the first Trump impeachment trial regarding the phone call that Donald Trump made to then-President of Ukraine Volodymyr Zelensky, essentially saying, yep, you can have the weapons that we promised and that have been okayed and all approved, but we want you to do a little thing for us.
Yeah.
Just a little thing.
Can you do a favor?
Could you do me a favor? So Alexander Vindman joining us after the 11 o'clock news to talk about what a danger Donald Trump would be to us globally.
Yeah.
Essentially. And our global relations. And it's a global world, friends. Mm-hmm. Lots of other countries we have to deal with, so it should be a very, very interesting conversation. And then 11:33, JR sports guru JR Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports. Brewers going to be in action again tonight.
Darn right they are.
I know, you must be very excited.
I'm very nervous.
And we're going to wrap everything up as we do now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. If you ever have a thing that should not be, you can email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. I did want to mention this just briefly. Of course, still learning more about the aftermath of Hurricane Helene and all the damage that was done in parts of the southern parts of our country. 45 members from Wisconsin's Electric Cooperative have hit the road for South Carolina to help out with storm recovery after Hurricane Helene. They're expected to be down there about 2 weeks. If you would like to help and make a donation, either to the Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse, World Central Kitchen. We have a link on our website. Go to civicmedia.us/help, and that has links right there where you can make donations if you feel like you would like to do something, or go give blood.
Yes.
Go give blood. We should all be doing that regularly anyway.
You did that yesterday?
I did that Tuesday.
Tuesday, and I'm doing it next Thursday.
Good for you. We're going to start off, though, with Tom Tiffany, Wisconsin's own. Tom Tiffany has represented Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District since 2020, did an interview with WPR. We will include this article in our show notes. Tom Tiffany says he supports the Biden administration's rehab of the Blatnik Bridge in Superior.
That's great. Shut it down, everybody. Interview over. That's all he had to say, right?
He also is big behind his initiative to redesignate the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore as a national park.
And we had Mary Hayes from the Dem Party of Ashland and Bayfield counties on to talk about how not great it is. Because when we first reported it to everyone, when we first talked about this, we were like, this seems like a good thing coming from Tom Tiffany. Where's the other shoe? Well, the other shoe is, there are many shoes.
There are many shoes.
Yeah.
And yeah, he supports this because it would allow some mining and some other things in areas that are currently protected. And he says, he's seeking a third term, by the way. Third term.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, it was 1 year ago today that Kevin McCarthy was ousted as Speaker of the House in Washington. And since then, Tom Tiffany and other Republicans from Wisconsin have been really good at nothing. They've been so good at accomplishing zippo, nada, zero.
They're so good at nothing,
they
Jane,
are.
That along with Ron Johnson and Derek Van Orden.
Yes.
Those three. And
Fitzgerald.
Well, with Tom Tiffany, though, with those three specifically, Tiffany, Van Orden, and Johnson, they wanted to do so much nothing that they actually voted to do nothing.
Yeah.
They voted to shut the government down.
Yes.
Instead of a continuing resolution or by God, a coming together on a budget. Nah,
no.
Let's shut it down.
No. So keep this in mind as you head to the ballot box in just 33 days when you go to cast your vote.
My goodness.
Think of all of the nothing that Tom Tiffany has done for you. I just think it's important that we remember. So in this article in WPR, Tom Tiffany was asked, what is his proudest accomplishment for his district?
Can't wait to hear this one.
Number one, says Tom, constituent service. I think that's the case for all of us, he says. Whether we're in the majority or the minority, making sure we're taking care of people back home. This year, I believe there's over $4 million we've returned to our constituents in the 7th Congressional District. Everything from IRS concerns to getting money back for benefits that are due our veterans. My staff takes great pride in making sure we give good constituent service. That's his number one thing, friends. If you live in Tom Tiffany's district, I'd love to hear from you if you have tried to contact him or his office and what kind of response you've gotten, merely out of curiosity. Because, as he says, his number one thing he's proudest of is constituent service. So I'm assuming the phone's always answered. He's always responding to questions from constituents. Mm-hmm. It's important to him.
Absolutely.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you live in Mr. Tiffany's district, please let us know how open he is to hearing from you. Jeannie from Eau Claire. Good morning, Jean. Thanks so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. And I have contacted all of the people that work for us in our state because I have Van Orden who definitely don't work for me because I call on every issue, talk to the person in there. Sometimes you have to leave a message. Oh, recently he changed his own voice to answering the phone instead of one of his workers to leave a message. By the way, that was for Van Orden. Because my guy don't represent me, so I tried the others. On every single issue that was important to help the people during COVID and all the different things that have happened to help the constituents, they voted no. Every god darn one of those Republicans voted no, except for the one that left. Yep. There, you guys, people need to look this up. Somebody post something and put it up for people to see how the devil they voted, because they did not work for us and they did not work for the constituents. And every one of those bills that were really important to us, for the vets, all of them, no.
Yep.
So have a good day and thank you so much for covering this. People need to know.
Absolutely, Jean. Thank you so very, very much. We really appreciate it. Brendan from New Jersey also on the line. Good morning, Brendan. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, this is a recreational call. I just wanted to say congratulations to Greg. My wife and I, as Yankee fans, sat here and watched the Brewers game last night. What a great game that was. And we were thinking about you the whole time, and we can't wait for tonight.
They played the Mets, Jane. So that's why Yankee fans are on my side.
Thanks a lot, Brendan.
Thanks,
that's
Brendan.
Really
appreciate
funny.
You.
That's hilarious.
You know, Gene from Eau Claire, Jeannie, I don't know if this is a coincidental thing. The reason why Derek Van Orden probably has his voice on his voicemail now is because he can't find people who are working for him. They're too busy wiping down his motorcycle because it got waned on, and Derek don't like to get wet on his motorcycle.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's a thing there, right
that,
there.
That so. Is a thing, actually. If you live in Tom Tiffany's district and you've reached out to him, we're curious about how responsive he's been because he says that that is the number one thing he is most proud of is constituent service. So then asked, what next? What's important? Asked about President Biden visiting Superior in less than 2 years and talking about the redoing of the Blatnik Bridge. Tom says, it'll be good that bridge is going to be built. You did vote against the infrastructure plan, by the way, Tom. The big concern I had going into it is that we have such long, complicated permitting process in America. It's something that needs to be fixed. We're seeing big projects that are taking 10, 15, 20 years to be permitted, and that adds significant cost to them. So rather than vote for it, he just did nothing and voted against it.
So it was the permitting process. I don't work in construction. I don't work in this type of logistic background. I don't work in that government. I have a feeling, go with me here, that in order to secure the funding for the bridge repairs, there probably is something in there saying that the permits and all the necessary paperwork will be fast-tracked because this is a project that needs to get it. Because it's a bridge.
Right.
It's a major bridge. I don't think it's going to take 25 years to get just the permits. So that's not a reason.
No, it's not a reason. For example, the Blatnik Bridge, says Tom Tiffany, I believe if we did this in a more streamlined manner, don't reduce standards, but do it in a more streamlined manner, okay, we could have brought the bridge in under $1 billion. It's great when any president comes to Superior or the district. I applaud that. But President Biden, as a result of his anti-energy policies, has driven up the cost of diesel fuel, gasoline, and other petroleum products. You know, we just happen to have a sound clip from Mr. Global, an oil and gas industry expert.
I think that people should stick around for that one. We can...
You want that to be the tease?
I think so, because I just have a question for you, Jane.
Okay.
If I own a house and I want you to come in and do work on the secure my basement, pour some concrete, what would you say to me if I said, hey, Jane, can you streamline the costs while maintaining all the security and the safeguards? Can you do that for me?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I want to pay as little as possible, but yet get the
best job.
Best job possible.
Best job. By the way, if you need to contact Tom Tiffany, we just happen to have his phone number.
Oh, right, yes, we
here.
Do.
202-225-3365. That's his Washington office. And in Wausau, just give him a call at 715-298-9344 and tell him, because you know that's his number one thing he's proud of is how great he responds to his constituents. So let's reach out.
Those numbers will be in our show notes.
Absolutely. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us anytime. Call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Vice President Kamala Harris going to be in Ripon, Wisconsin today, along with Liz Cheney.
The reason why I'm laughing, folks, is because Ripon is literally the birthplace of the Republican Party.
It's the little schoolhouse
there. The little schoolhouse.
Civic Media's news and political teams will have all the coverage you need. And Todd Alba is actually up there, and I'm sure he's setting up right now.
Yeah.
Vice President Harris will be there later on today. Todd will be doing his show from Ripon. It should be a lot of fun. It should be a very interesting.
It should be a Ripon good time.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
And talking about Tom Tiffany, Wisconsin's own Congressman from the 7th Congressional District, he has an interview in WPR that we will include in our show notes, talking about how he thinks, you know, the Blatnik Bridge is a great thing. Of course, he didn't vote for it. He didn't vote for the infrastructure plan because it wasn't streamlined enough. Okay.
That makes no sense.
I know. And then Andrew from Maine texted in, has Mr. Tiffany proposed any bills to update permit regulations? That's a very good question, Andrew. One of his constituents could call him. Yeah. Ask him that.
How would they do that, Jane?
They would call him in Washington at 202-225-3365 or his Wausau office, 715-298-9344. Right before we went to the break, though, this is another quote from Tom Tiffany. President Biden, as a result of his anti-energy policies, has driven up the cost of diesel fuel, gasoline, and other petroleum products. That's leading to higher costs for infrastructure projects. If you have been listening to the show at all, you know that we have had Mr. Global, who is an oil and gas industry expert, on the show a couple of times. He has addressed gas prices and what makes gas prices and other prices of fuel so high. Calvin, let's play clip number one for Mr. Global, please.
If they win the day after the victory, they'll stop with all the drilling. But they went back to it because prices were going through the roof. They were going really bad. And that's what caused our inflation, and that's what destroyed the lives of many Americans.
Is it opposite day?
Mm-hmm.
Opposite day. So first of all, let's look at why oil prices were high in 2021 and 2022. Under the Trump administration, OPEC was producing 37.5 million barrels a day. And then right in here,
he's a chart.
Donald Trump made that OPEC 2020 deal. What was OPEC producing in 2021? 31 million barrels a day? 37, 31. You think that might impact oil prices? What about 2022? 34. 37, 34. You think that might impact oil prices? And why were they doing this? Why were they producing so much less? Trump's historic oil deal. When did the deal end? April 2022.
Sounds like Donald Trump's policies are the ones that led to OPEC producing less oil, which then makes the energy cost more.
As we have stated before, folks, it's not about who's sitting in the chair on the day. It's about who is sitting in the chair when they made the deals.
The other thing Mr. Tiffany says, the only thing we really need to do is get back to energy independence, energy abundance, and that will bring down the cost of energy for all Americans, including for infrastructure projects, and bring projects like the Blatnik Bridge in under cost. He says we are not producing enough energy. Calvin, let's play clip number two for Mr. Global talking about rig counts.
And look how many we've lost since January of 23. Wow, that's almost 200. And why have we lost so many rigs? Because we have produced so much natural gas that the price of it has crashed. In the last few days, it has picked up some. But for about the last 18 months, gas prices have been near historic lows. All through here, you're looking at like $1.50 gas. That is terrible. A terrible price for natural gas producers. Some of the worst in history. But it's because we drilled so much and produced so much, we crashed the price of it ourselves.
Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, been working in the oil industry for 30 years. He's got the experience. He's got the facts. He knows of which he speaks.
Yes. And if we want to talk about energy independence, let's also then talk about alternative energy like solar, wind, all those things. Let's focus on solar. That's a very good source. But I also pulled up gas prices. The national average right now is $3.19. The national average is $3.19. Diesel, $3.57. It's not bad. Wisconsin is $3.03 average across the state, which is below the midpoint of retail prices. They always want to blame Biden for everything.
Yes, they
inflation
do.
Is out of control. No, it is not.
No, it's not.
It's 2.5%, and that's a little bit above what they want, but it's pretty good from where it was a year or two ago.
One other thing in this article in WPR, Tom Tiffany's asked about redesignating the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore as a national park, citing potential increased tourism, but local officials say the area can't handle much tourism and that the proposal kind of surprised them and came out of nowhere. But Tom says he really appreciates the input they've gotten on this. I just really appreciate it. Whether they're supportive, perhaps not supportive, or they just want information, we can provide it for them. So call him. Call Tom Tiffany today at 202-225-3365 in Washington, in Wausau, 715-298-9344. 298-9344. Constituent service is number one to Tom. So reach out.
And Alicia on the live stream asked a question I think is very important. She said, can those of us in the 8th adopt Tiffany and call too? You know what? I want everyone in Wisconsin to call because he works for Wisconsin. He works for his district.
He does.
But he works for Wisconsin. So, hey, everybody, let him know how you feel. Because I felt like that answer he gave about the people saying
about the Apostle Islands
was very much like, thanks for your input. I don't care.
Be nice. Be polite.
Be polite.
That's what we ask. We'll put the numbers in the show notes if you want to call more than one. News is coming up next, and when we return, we're talking about ballots, baby. It's all about elections. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Together, we will vote for something better that will bring us...
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. That was really weird, Calvin. What was that bumper music?
It was a song called Vote. By Mud River. Yeah, I agree. It was a little odd.
Vote. Make sure you're a voter. Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. 33 days away from the election. Excited to be joined by Michael Wagner, is a professor with the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. So much discussion, Michael, about voting and whether or not voting is secure and whether or not it's easy to cheat. And we wanted to talk to someone for quite a while to kind of take us through from the birth of a ballot to putting it to bed. What happens with our elections? So let's just start with the ballots. Who prints them? Who is responsible for printing them? What's on them?
So, well, what's on the ballot are the candidates for office who have met the requirements to be candidates for office. And in the case of the general election, those who've gotten through the primary to be their party's winner to be on a ballot. Or if there's a referendum question, there's a process to go through. Through the Elections Commission and the state legislature and to get on the ballot. And so the things that are on the ballot are the decisions we have to make about who it is we want to vote for and whether we support particular proposed changes to our state constitution in particular for this election. The ballots vary, across the counties of the state of Wisconsin because, we might be voting for local races in Madison or Dane County, where I live, that people in Greene County and Brown County won't be voting on. So, of course, they don't see those candidates. So we only get the ones that are relevant to the people who would represent us where we live, from president on down to our local city and county officials. We vote either at a precinct or a ward, that is close to where we live in most cases. And then we also have opportunities to vote absentee, mailing in. There are some places allow you to use drop boxes as well to drop off your ballot. But there's lots of different ways to cast a ballot. But the way that they are treated is equal across those different mechanisms.
Are there any identifying marks on each ballot to number them, or so that they can keep track of these ballots and make sure that, we stopped at 400, say, and this is number 425, so we know that that's not accurate, that's not real.
That's right. One common claim people make when they make a baseless claim about voter fraud is that there's ballot box stuffing, that there are more votes cast. But this can't happen because the election officials in each ward keep track of how many people come and cast a ballot. So for when you vote in person on election day, what happens is you go, you have to show your state issued ID, and then, which is usually a driver's license, but it doesn't have to be a driver's license. Then, of course, you already have to be registered to vote. In Wisconsin, you can register to vote on election day, and it's not too hard to do that. So if you haven't registered, it's not too late. You can just show up on election day and register to vote. But if you go to vote, you give your name to the people who were volunteering their time at the ward. They ask you your address. You tell it to them. They ask you to sign in. They write down the number of voter you are at that particular place at that particular time. And then they write that same number on your ballot. And then you cast that ballot and turn it in. And so they keep track of exactly how many ballots I should say when they write down the number, they don't write it down next to your name. They write down the number in another location so that your ballot is still a secret ballot.
Right.
Right. So it's not that they can go back and look up who Mike Wagner voted for later. They just know that Mike Wagner was voter 504. They keep track. There were at least 504 voters, and you know, then you turn in your ballot. And so, as you say, a ward comes back with 620 votes for a candidate, and there are only 600 ballots cast, they know that that's not possible. And then, you know, make sure to not count ballots above the number that maxed out where the voters were in that particular precinct. And then the same thing happens with absentee ballots, which we can talk about if you'd like.
Absolutely, because mm-hmm. that came up recently.
Yeah.
Where, and I'm sorry, the lawmaker's name escapes me right now, but he's like, well, why isn't the barcode on the ballot?
That was Tiffany.
Oh, was it Tom? We were just talking about
Tiffany.
Tom. It's not on the ballot because, as you said, Mike, they don't want to be able to say this is who Jane voted for. That's why
right.
they don't do that.
That's right. We have a private ballot in the United States, and who we vote for is our business and our business only. And if we want to share it with other people, we can. But the government doesn't get to know who it was that we voted for. And so what happens with absentee ballots is they get processed on election day. And so many people have argued that it would be nice to be able to process these ballots early to not overwhelm folks doing the counting. But
right.
in Wisconsin, they have to be processed on election day. And so the election inspectors first verify that the envelope meets all the requirements that are present for an absentee ballot to be counted. So there's like a presence of a voter signature, there's a witness signature, and even an address for the witness. And if all those things are met, then the inspectors open the ballot and begin to tabulate it. And then they do the same thing to that ballot, you know, that they make sure that they mark a voter number in the poll book so that they know, okay, this is another legitimate ballot, and it increases the number of ballots cast in our ward, right? And so, and then that process is not just one where the inspectors are engaging in it. It's a process that can be observed by members of the public. And usually members of both political parties send observers to this process to watch the counting of these votes happen. And so it's very easy to try and cheat. It's very difficult to actually cheat in the casting and counting of votes in Wisconsin.
Well, it would take, at least in my estimation, it's going to take a whole bunch of coordinated people in a very coordinated manner to pull anything off like this on a scale that is going to actually affect the outcome of an election. And it's going to take a bunch of people in a bunch of different places to be able to pull this off.
And what's interesting is when some folks who like to make arguments that our elections are not secure. And again, these are all unsubstantiated arguments. They're
right.
evidence-free arguments. But when they make them, sometimes some of the more extreme groups will actually try and engage in a bit of voter fraud to show the vulnerabilities in the system. And the reason we know that is that they get caught, which means that the system is working. It's stopping these people
yes.
from voting. And so it's almost ridiculous sometimes to note how people who are trying to show the system is vulnerable actually reveal the security of the system when they try to do that.
Professor, I really enjoyed the phrase evidence-free argument. I'm going to use that. It's evidence-free. A question I have for you is, maybe I've heard people go back and forth. So if, let's say I am at home, I have my family and I have my wife as well as maybe two kids who can vote, and we all fill out absentee ballots. We each individually have to drop off our ballots, or can I take all four of them and just say, I'm going to drop them off at the drop box and be done?
I'm not exactly sure about that rule, so I don't want to say anything.
Of course.
I know everybody is safe dropping off their own ballot at a drop box. Yeah. And I know that it's against the law for people to ask you what you're doing at the drop box or to harass you in any kind of way at a drop box. Sometimes people will stand near a drop box and try to make you feel like you can't drop this off unless you also do that. Those things aren't true.
Yeah.
So long as the, you know, often absentee ballots are mailed in, right? And so you can, anybody can put them in a mailbox and mail them, so long as the ballot is filled out, the envelope has your signature and the witness's signature, your address and the witness's address. If it has all of those components, it can be mailed in. Okay. I actually know whether you can bring other people's ballots.
Well, we're going to be talking to Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters. And we can clarify that with her. If you're just joining us, folks, Professor Michael Wagner is our guest. He is with the School of Journalism and Mass Communications at UW-Madison. And we're just talking about voting in Wisconsin. He's also the distinguished chair for the Wisconsin Idea. Just talking about ballots and what is the process and how does this work. And I think it's important to reiterate, Professor, again, there's a number on the ballot. So every ward knows if 600 people voted and those 600 ballots came back, if 650 ballots come back, they're going to say, we didn't issue 650 ballots.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And each ballot is numbered. And so if a ballot has a number that's higher, then they know, that wasn't one of the ones that they...
Well, and the other thing, too, is if I'm going to attempt this, say there's 600 ballots cast, and I'm just going to screw around with the 550 to 600 number, and I want to replace those ballots. I'm trying to think like a criminal. Work with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try and replace those ballots so I can drop them in a drop box. But now they're going to have
You're not the one numbering them as the voter, right? It's the people that do the counting. That's the people that are administering the elections. That number. You're not writing it. Yeah, that would make it a lot easier to cheat. So you show up, you show your ID, you sign in when you're voting in person. They give you a slip of paper with your voter number on it. You walk that slip of paper over to another person who writes that number on a ballot, and then you go vote. There's not a way to do that unless you infiltrated a county election administration office, got access to a bunch of ballots.
It sounds complicated.
Also stopped all the humans who voted with those numbers from putting their vote in the voting machine.
Exactly.
And it seems like it would be extremely hard to do that.
And see, that's the point, though. That's the perfect point, is that what you are describing is such a huge, coordinated, calculated effort. But yet we still have individuals who will say, yeah, those are fake ballots. And then it's on us to say, but you don't get how hard it is to do that and how secure, because the conversation we're having right now, on top of all the other conversations we have with other people regarding this matter, and then on top of the fact that courts, lawyers over the past few years have said, nope, our own assembly speaker has said, free, fair, safe election. But yet it's still people who say, like, there's shenanigans happening, and you can't convince them otherwise.
Well, and that's why we wanted to talk to you, Professor Wagner, because, again, I think it's important for folks to appreciate how complicated and the massive coordination it would require and numerous bad actors all over the place in order to do this, much less have it actually affect the outcome of an election.
You would also probably need to have both the Republican and Democratic Party observers who were watching the counting both be Confederates for your side. So you'd have to have a double agent in one of the parties so that they don't say anything when they see the shenanigans happening. Yeah, and so it's very difficult to imagine in Wisconsin how this could happen on any kind of systematic scale.
This sounds like the script to a terrible movie versus like what could happen in reality.
Hollywood would look at this and go, this is impossible. No one's going to buy this.
Yeah.
We're going to continue our conversation with Professor Mike Wagner from University of Wisconsin-Madison. We are talking about ballots from birth to putting it to bed. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking to Professor Michael Wagner. He's a professor from the School of Journalism and Mass Comm at UW-Madison and also a distinguished chair of the Wisconsin Idea. And we're talking about voting in Wisconsin and ballots, essentially from birth to putting it to bed, the entire process when we cast our votes, and essentially how enormously complicated and difficult it would be to cheat successfully. So, Michael, let's talk a little bit more about absentee ballots. I remember very well in 2020 when Donald Trump, I'm way ahead. Well, you know, not all the ballots are in yet, and certainly not all the ballots have been counted yet. And that's why counts can change as the night goes on, correct?
That's right. I think one thing to keep in mind when you're watching voting returns is it's not like watching a Packers game where, you know, you watch the returns and, oh, Trump is ahead, now Harris is ahead. All the votes are in. There is already a winner. We just don't know who it is because we have to count the ballots. It's not like someone is ahead and then lost their lead. Like all the votes are cast. There is a winner. We just have to count. And in Wisconsin, the rule is you cannot count absentee ballots until Election Day. And so in Milwaukee County and Dane County, where lots of people live and lots of people cast absentee ballots, it takes a long time to count them. Because as we were saying before the break, you've got to have the inspector say, okay, this envelope is legitimate, then the ballot is legitimate, then we can count it in front of the observers and move on. So that happens with each ballot. So it's opening thousands of ballots on Election Day. And so in the really populous counties of Wisconsin, they're not done doing that until the middle of the night. And we saw this happen in the Evers-Scott Walker gubernatorial race. We saw it happen again in the next one. We saw it happen in the most recent presidential race, where you might go to bed and one candidate currently has more votes that have been counted. But then you wake up and another candidate has, you know, more votes when all the votes have been counted. And this is a prime way that people claim fraud. Well, it was the middle of the night, and under the cover of darkness, this you know, horrible thing happened to our ballots, when in fact it's required by law that the counting happens in that way, and it happens every time. And it doesn't happen every time because people are cheating. It happens every time because that's when you're allowed to count the ballots. And so it always is going to be slower, especially in the more populated counties where there are more absentee ballots sent in. So we should expect that and recognize that that is also happening with witnesses watching on election night and the following morning.
And we have the opportunity to rectify that, and our lawmakers elected not to. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we could have started counting the ballots sooner and gotten away from this, oh, the middle of the night ballot dumps, blah, blah, blah. And they elected not to do that. One wonders, only because I'm a suspicious human being, that there are some who like that. Yes, they're blah, 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 they're in the middle of the night and they're dumping ballots in order to perpetuate this fraud, that there is massive fraud.
Is it on, Professor, is it on election day, or is it once the polls close, they start counting ballots?
I think they have to wait until the end.
And see, that's what I thought. And I thought that they were trying to make it so that they at least could start counting
the day of.
During the day.
Because then you could count most of the ballots in the morning and be set. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that was, we voted on that. The people, we did. So.
Yeah, well, there's that. Mike from Green Bay texting and listening on WGBW. This ballot thing sounds like an impossible mission. Maybe Tom Cruise could pull it off. I don't even think Tom Cruise dropping down on a rope into a ballot box would be able to pull off massive fraud.
But I'd pay to see it. I would.
It'd be a fun movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, Professor Wagner, I guess you have a deep expertise in this. I have to imagine watching the news and especially like, I think it was Georgia. It was a southern state decided that they wanted to hand count all of their ballots this year.
Yeah, Georgia.
Georgia. This, I mean, for you as a professor, as an expert in this field, it just has to drive you kind of bonkers to say, like, it's safe. It's we got a good process. Let's not mess with it right now.
Well, and even in where they did do hand counts, there were more mistakes made when they did hand counts before.
That's right. Hand counting tends to make mistakes a bit more likely than other methods of counting. So they're literally choosing to make it harder to have an accurate count.
Our elections are safe and secure in Wisconsin. Free, fair, and safe elections. Take that with you to the mailbox.
Take it to the ballot box.
Or the polling place. Yeah. Or trust the process.
Yes.
It works. And as you pointed out too, Professor Wagner, and I thought that you made such a good point, those who were trying to prove that you can cheat in the elections proved that you can't cheat because they got caught.
Yes.
Yeah, that's always a fascinating thing where people who are trying to show vulnerabilities in the system find that the system has a set of safeguards that are designed to catch people. I mean, in most analyses done of fraud attempts in Wisconsin, it's about 0.003% of ballots that should not have been cast. And that's usually because a person
made a mistake
and hasn't waited out until the end of that term. That's the most common way that these things happen. Other times people show up at the wrong place by accident.
Michael Wagner.
They get told that when they try to sign in.
Michael Wagner with the University of Madison. Thank you so very, very much. This has been fascinating. Thank you for your time. News is next. Stay here. Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.